Good evening, everyone. This is the NLA Hams Net. This net happens every week on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Daylight Time at the moment, and we talk about things that have to do with NLA and ham radio. Everyone is welcome to input. You're welcome anytime to call in. And I don't have the number with me. It's easy to find. It's up on the meetings page at nationallibertyalliance.org, nationallibertyalliance.org. My name is Terry Moore from Colorado. I'm Terry from Colorado. My call sign is KI0RE, and I am here to talk about ham radio and things like that. So I would like to draw everyone's attention to the website WNDW.net. So that's Whiskey November Delta Whiskey.net. And once you're there, in the middle of the page, at the top of the page, there's a book you can download. You don't have to download the book. Click on the word read right above the download box. Okay? And then once you click on that, is everybody there? Is there anybody not there? Is there anybody not there? Okay. Then click on Chapter 1, Physics. And that gives you it opens another window, which is iRadio Physics. I thought this was a good little primer for understanding a little bit about the physical capabilities of radio and the not-so-physical capabilities of radio. So I will be going very loosely down through this, and I would say give it a read. And it's like the repetition. It will help you understand. So the first thing it starts out is wireless communications. This web page and the book are for establishing wireless network in the developing world. So there's a lot of places around the world that don't have a wireless capability, and therefore they don't have any capability, and they can't get on the Internet. Well, we don't want to leave them in the cold. We'd like them all to be there. So this goes through from the physics to telecommunications basics to licensing and regulation, radio spectrum and antennas, all the way down through economic sustainability, and tells a person how to establish a wireless network in the developing world. Really an interesting book, and I would recommend you buy it if you want, but you don't have to. You can read it just like we're doing tonight. Is there anybody not in Chapter 1, Radio Physics? Please call
now. I'm there.
You're there? Is there anybody else?
I'm there.
Are you there?
Yep.
Are those the only one? Is that all we got tonight?
Oh, no, there's more people. They're just kind of silent.
Okay, silent four people. Let me know if you're not there yet.
I don't have a computer, so I...
Okay, so can you listen in? I apologize that I'm doing this. Do you have
That's
anything?
That's okay, I'm listening. Hey.
So you don't mind listening without a computer?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, thank you. And who was that? Was that Helena or Roseanne? Oh, it's Crystal. That's the name I was trying to remember. It was in this gray hair right here. Okay.
Terry, I'm on the page
now.
I just caught up with you. Where do you want us to click? The library? This is Helena.
Yeah. You're on the physics page, Chapter 1 Physics?
I am on the main page right now. Caught up.
Okay, there's a book right there on the left, right? There's a book there on the left, right? The face of a book.
Oh, okay.
And there's three buttons. One is read, download, and buy now. Click on the one that says read.
Chapter 1 is 26 pages?
Yes. Chapter 1 is 26 pages.
Should have just downloaded the whole book?
You can download the whole book.
Right.
I have downloaded the whole book, but I'm going to teach it from the web page, just like I have all of y'all right now.
Okay.
Okay, good. So wireless communications make up the use of the electromagnetic waves to send signals across long distances. Are you there, Helena?
It's awfully slow. It's a PDF. It's opening.
Right.
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
It should be CH01 for chapter1-physics.pdf.
Yes.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. If anybody else needs help, just give a holler soon. We want everybody on the same page so we can slide down the pages. I'm going to be zipping around back and forth and get everybody confused the best I can. Radio waves have some unexpected properties. I'm down in the first paragraph right now, compared to Ethernet cable. For example, it's very easy to see the path that an Ethernet cable takes. Locate the plug sticking out of your computer and follow the cable down. You can be confident that if your Ethernet cable is connected, it won't cause any problems. But waves are different. There's radio waves emanating from your computer and from whatever you're tied to, whatever is sending out those waves. And it bounces off objects and buildings. And how can you say, I want to go to what is a wave? We are all familiar with vibrations or oscillations in various forms, a pendulum, a tree swaying in the wind goes back and forth. The string of a guitar is vibrating very quickly. These are all examples of oscillations. What they have in common is that something, some medium or object, is swinging in a periodic manner in a certain number of cycles per unit of time. This kind of wave is sometimes called a mechanical wave, since it is defined by the motion of an object or its propagating medium. When such oscillations travel, that is, when the swinging does not stay bound to one place, then we speak of waves propagating in space. For example, a singer singing creates periodic oscillations in his or her vocal cords. These oscillations periodically compress and decompress the air, and the periodic change of the air pressure then leaves the singer's mouth and travels at the speed of sound. A stone plunging in a lake causes a disturbance, which then travels across the lake as a wave. I'm sure everyone, okay, that's the end of page one. I'm going on to page two. Does anybody have any questions? Nothing heard. I'm going to continue on boldly and brashly. Okay, a wave has a certain speed, frequency, and wavelength. And those are speed, frequency, wavelength. And then they have an equation there. Speed equals frequency times wavelength. Now, sometimes the wavelength is called or it's referred to as lambda, which is the lambda Greek letter. It's the distance measured from one point on a wave to the equivalent part of the next wave. And it has wavelength down in the figure RP1. It has wavelength between the tops of two crests. Yeah, you could measure it where it crosses the line to where it crosses the line going in the same direction, or you can measure the bottom. See how it measured the wavelength in two different places? Also, it has amplitude. Okay, back up to the top, towards the top where it says lambda. The distance measured between equal parts of a wave. For example, from the top of one peak to the next, that's what we saw. The frequency is the number of whole waves that pass a fixed point in a period of time. Now get that in your mind. The frequency is the number of whole waves, one wavelength, that passes a certain point in a fixed period of time. Speed is measured in the meters per second. Frequency is measured in cycles per second, or hertz. represented by the symbol HZ, big H, little z, and wavelength is measured in meters. For example, if a wave on water travels at 1 meter per second, which is not unusual, and it oscillates 5 times per second, then each wave will be 20 centimeters long because 1 meter per second equals 5 cycles per second times W. And then they just solve the equation for how big the wavelength is. Waves also have a property called amplitude. This is the distance from the center of the wave to the extreme of one of its peaks and can be thought of as the height of a water wave. Frequency, wavelength, and amplitude are shown in figure RP1. Anybody have any questions on page 2? Please speak up now.
I notice it's a British journal. They got meter spelled R-E and so on in there, you know?
And the nice thing about that, Jan, is?
It's like center hall.
Yeah, we can still understand it. It looks like center hall.
That's right.
Okay, waves in water are easy to visualize. Simply drop a stone into a lake and see where the waves stand. Everybody's done that, I assume.
Yep.
What is it that's oscillating? In order to understand that, you need to understand electromagnetic forces. So now we're moving into electromagnetic force. Just all the way up to page 3, and they're already on electromagnetic force. And Terry's tangled. Electromagnetic forces are the forces between electrical charges and currents. Our most direct access to these is when our hand touches a door handle after walking on synthetic carpet or brushing up against an electrical fence. It hurts. A more powerful example of electromagnetic forces is the lightning we see during a thunderstorm. The electrical force is the force between electric charges. The magnetic force is the force between electric currents. I can't overstress those things. Anytime you have the flowing of electricity, and every circuit has to have electricity flowing, you will have an electrical force that is the pressure that moves the flow of electrons. And because the electrons are moving, an electrical current is created. Therefore, you will have a magnetic force that's in that. Do we have any questions so far? I'm halfway down on page 3. Wow. Either you're absorbing it or you're too frightened to ask a question. That's okay. But don't let me continue on without you. I want everybody to understand all of this. So please, ask questions.
Okay, so Terry, there's a kinetic force to it. You said it has, I forget the word you used. It wasn't force, it was some other word.
Electromagnetic forces. You have electrical force and you have a magnetic force.
I remember what word you used. You used pressure. So pressure is kinetic. Is that kinetic energy?
Yeah, there's another thing, and I really shouldn't have gone there, but you can think of electrical properties like water. Like we were dropping the rock in, and it made waves that expanded out from where the rock went in the water. Mm-hmm. So you can use water in a lot of ways. And the electrical force is the force between electrical charges. And that's like the water pressure that you're pushing through a hose, and that's what I was talking about. And so I was mixing my metaphors, and I apologize. I don't want to confuse you.
Okay.
Back on the same page? Electrical force, magnetic force. Anytime you have two electrical charges, you're going to have an electrical force. Anytime current flows between any two points, you're going to have a magnetic force. Electrons are particles that carry a negative electrical charge. There are other charged particles too, but it is the electrons that are responsible for most of what we need to know about how radio behaves. Let us look at what is happening in a piece of straight vertical wire in which we push, and there's that word again, push the electrons from one end to the other and back periodically. So we're going to take a big vertical pole, and we're going to push an electron up all the way to the top and then pull it all the way back down. push it up and then push it down from one end to the other. And we're going to do that periodically. So it's going up and down and up and down and up and down. Imagine if you were throwing a bunch of rocks and then you could just suck them back up into your hand and throw them again. You're pushing that electron up and down and up and down, that vertical bar, okay? Vertical wire. At one moment, the top of the wire is negatively charged because all the negative electrons are gathered there. This creates an electrical field from the positively charged end to the negatively charged end along the wire. The next moment, the electrons have all been driven to the other side, and the electric field points the other way as they come back down. As this happens again and again, the electrical field vectors, represented by arrows from plus to minus, are leaving the wire, so to speak, and are radiated out into space around the wire. What we have just described is known as a dipole because of the two differently charged poles, plus and minus, that are created in the straight vertical wire, or commonly a dipole antenna. So that's all a dipole antenna is a wire that the charge can run back and forth from the end to the base, from the top to the bottom. This is the simplest form of an omnidirectional antenna. The moving electrical field is commonly referred to as an electromagnetic wave because there is also an associated magnetic field. A moving electron field, which we're talking about moving that electron up and down, such as a wave, always comes together with a magnetic field, and you will not find one without the other. Why is this the case? An electric field is caused by electrically charged objects. I'm moving to page 4. A moving electric field is produced by moving electrically charged objects, such as we have just described in a dipole antenna. Whenever electrical charges are moving, they induce a magnetic field. Mathematically, this is formulated in Maxwell's equation, and I can send anybody the equation that wants that. Just put Maxwell's equation. I'll come back here. I'll get you the link and send it out. Anybody's welcome to read that. It's a good read. Since the electrical charges and magnetic components are tied together in this way, we speak of an electromagnetic field. In practical wireless networking, we focus in the electrical component, but there will always be a magnetic component as well. So that's always good to remember. Anytime you have electrons moving, you have an electrical field and a magnetic field. Let's come back to the relation. Speed equals frequency times wavelength, middle of page 4. In the case of the electromagnetic waves, the speed is c, the speed of light. So they use this little c. Everybody remembers E equals mc squared. The c in there is the speed of light squared. C is about 300,000 kilometers per second, or 300 million meters per second, or if you'd rather write it this way, 3 times 10 to the 8th meters per second. And that's the formula that most people use. It's also 186,200 miles per second and a little bit of change. So they changed the speed equals frequency times wavelength formula into C for light, the speed of light, equals F, which is the frequency, times lambda, which is the wavelength. So write down on a piece of paper right now, C equals F times lambda. Anybody got any questions? Nothing heard. Electromagnetic waves differ from mechanical waves in that they require no medium in which to propagate. So these electrical waves travel out, on out into space, if they're the right frequency, and they keep going forever. They get weaker and weaker as they go out, but they're going on forever. Electromagnetic waves will even propagate through a perfect vacuum, like space, which is not a perfect vacuum, but you get the idea. The light from the stars is a good example. It reaches us through the vacuum of space. Okay, and then it talks about symbols in the International System of Units. And you can look this up on Wikipedia or several other places. There's a chart on page 5, which goes from it's like centimeters or kilometers or megameters or gigameters or terameters. These all represent magnitudes. So a meter, a centimeter, is 1/100th of a meter. A kilometer is 10 to the third, which is 1,000 meters. A megameter is 10 to the 6 meters. A gigameter is 10 to the 9th meters. And that goes to tera and giga. These Latin standard prefixes apply to a lot of things. So you can use them in front of hertz. So if you have 1 hertz, if you have 1 kilohertz, then you have 1,000 hertz. Anybody got any questions? Did I lose everybody?
Not yet.
Okay.
All here.
Then they go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said we're all here.
Okay. Knowing the speed of light, we can calculate the wavelength for a given frequency. Does anybody remember what the speed of light is?
3 × 10⁸ meters per second.
Absolutely. So we can say, let's take the example of an 802.1b wireless networking, which is the frequency is 2.4 gigahertz, which equals 2,400,000,000 cycles per second. Wavelength is lambda is equal to C divided by F. Well, plugging it in, C is 3 × 10⁸ over 2.4 × 10⁹, which is gigahertz, and that equals 1.25 × 10⁻¹ meters, or 12.5 centimeters. So that's getting down there pretty small. That's still not as small as it will go, but that's pretty small. So the frequency is therefore, and the therefore wavelength determine most of the electromagnetic waves' behavior. It governs the dimensions of the antenna that we build, as well as the effect of the interactions with objects that are in the propagation path, including the biological effects in living beings. Wireless standards, of course, are distinguished by more than just the frequency they are working at. For example, 802.11b, 802.11g, 802.11n, and 802.16 can all work 2.4 gigahertz, yet they are very different from one another. So this has all got a bent towards teaching you something about wireless, but they jump into it real fast. I am on page 6. Is everybody with me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. The chapter called Telecommunications Basic will discuss modulation techniques. However, the basic capabilities of electromagnetic waves to penetrate objects, to go long distances, and so forth, these are all determined by physics alone. The electromagnetic wave does not know or care what modulation or standard or technique you put on top of it. So while different standards may implement advanced techniques to deal with NLOS, which is non-line of sight, multipath, and so forth, they still cannot make a wave go through a wall if that wall is absorbing the respective frequency. Therefore, an understanding of the basic ideas of frequency and wavelength helps a lot in practical wireless work. Can't emphasize that enough. That's kind of where you need to have your head, is understanding frequency and wavelength. Any questions so far? I've got that about 5-10 minutes here, and then we'll have to knock this off and we'll pick it up where we left off. Anybody want to ask anything or get some clarifications? Later in this chapter, this is on phase. We will talk later in this chapter. We'll talk about concepts like interference, multipath, and Fresnel zones. In order to understand these, we will need to know about the phase of a wave, or rather, phase differences between waves. Look at the sine wave and figure RP1. Now, that was the one we talked about where it showed you how to measure wavelength. Now, imagine we have two such waves moving. These can be in exactly the same position where the one has its peak, the other has also its peak. Then we would say they are in phase, or their phase difference is zero. But one wave could be displaced from the other. For example, the other wave is at zero. In this case, we have a phase difference. This phase difference can be expressed in a fraction of the wavelength, i.e. lambda over 4, or in degrees, 90 degrees, with one full cycle of wave being 360 degrees. A phase difference of 360 degrees is the same as that of 0 degrees, no phase difference. So figure RP2 at the bottom of page 6 shows a phase difference that they label as the Greek letter theta, which is common, as being the difference between the phases of two waves. You can measure it from the peaks, but it's easier to measure it where they cross the center line of the wave, where it's going across. And then here, that looks like about 90 degrees, maybe a little less. Any questions? Polarization. Ooh, they're getting deep here. Another important quality of electromagnetic waves is polarization. Polarization describes the direction of the electrical field vector. If you imagine a vertically aligned dipole antenna, that means antenna, straight piece of wire going straight up, electrons can only move up and down, not sideways, because there is no room to move sideways inside that wire. And thus, electrical fields only ever point up or down vertically. The field leaving the wire and traveling as a wave has a strict linear, and in this case, vertical polarization. If we put the antenna flat on the ground, we would find horizontal linear polarization. And then they have figure RP3, vertically polarized electromagnetic wave. And it shows the wavelength again, and it shows the two fields, electrical field and magnetic field. And you'll notice that they are 90 degrees in space different from each other. Their phases, they're in phase, but it's pointing, the peaks are pointing in two different directions. How best do I say that, Jan?
That was good.
You got to look at the diagram. I really encourage everybody to take a look at the diagram because the diagram makes it very plain. Right. If your electrical field is going up and down, it's polarized vertically, then your magnetic field is going side to side in actuality. And that's just the way it goes. Now, we declare whether it's polarized vertical or polarized horizontal by the electrical field. So always associate the polarization to your electrical field. Just a side note, here in the United States, we're all used to looking up at TV antennas on top of a house. Well, we used to be. And all these antennas are flat. They're horizontal. Anybody want to take a guess as to why that is? Oh, you're forcing me to tell you everything. The reason is that all the TV signals in the United States at one time were horizontally polarized. And so your antenna to receive those signals effectively had to be a horizontally polarized antenna. I went over to England once, and one of the first things my radar navigator noted, he pointed out the window and said, well, look at that. All their TV antennas are vertically polarized. And I thought, well, yeah, he's right. That's pretty cool. He figured that out. So linear polarization is just one special case. And is never quite so perfect in general, we will always have some component of the field pointing in other directions too. If we combine two equal dipoles fed with the same signal, we can generate a circularly polarized wave. And that gets into some deep stuff where the electrical vector keeps rotating perpendicularly through the wave's trajectory. So the circular polarization, it's always flopping over, and so it's moving. As a matter of fact, on the moon, when they set up communication antennas, they use circular polarization a lot of times because that gets through even though others might not, because the moon changes reference and it's easy just to point it at Earth and the circular polarization gets heard by the antenna. The most general case is the elliptical polarization, in which the electric field vector maximum value is not the same in the vertical area, blah, 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 blah. It gets way deeper than you need to. And then it starts in with the electromagnetic spectrum on page 8. So I'm going to stop it right there. And they start getting really good, and I would love to have everybody see this figure RP4 on page 9, which explains a lot of stuff, how the wavelength, as you get higher, the wavelength gets shorter, the number of times per unit distance gets more, and so your frequency goes up, but they're all still traveling at the speed of light. So I'm going to turn it open for questions, and you don't have to be talking about the stuff we went through today. You can ask a question on anything concerning NLA and ham radio together. Suggestions, anything else you want. So I turn it open now. Y'all have the floor. If you have any questions, suggestions, criticisms, or whatever. Okay, was that a good thing or was that a bad thing? Did y'all enjoy that, or would you rather not be going through it in this way?
Well, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it was great.
Somebody else? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it was great. I need to print it out and use my highlighter. I like to read with a highlighter and a pen, like I send out emails. It just sinks in better. It's been a long time since I had this physics. This is great. Great, Terry.
Okay,
great.
Good. Anybody else? Would you like me to continue next week?
Absolutely. Don't you run away.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, y'all are welcome to read ahead and finish Chapter 26 if you want, but I'll pick up at the electromagnetic spectrum on page 9. Is it page 9? Look, page 8, in the middle of page 8. We'll pick that up next time. Does anybody have anything else they want to say? Please come now.
Yeah, any of you that are going to the 9 o'clock meeting for IRC, the access code was incorrectly stated in the email. The access code for that is 798-720.
798-720. Thank you,
yep.
Jen.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think we're about done then. I hope people can listen to this if they weren't here tonight. I appreciate everyone's participation, and I'm going to close the net now. This is the NLA Hams Net. I am Terry in Colorado. My call sign is KI0RE, and we have this net every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and we talk about NLA and ham stuff. And so the net is now closed. Thank you very much.